Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette of Mission Africa, and by the marvelous grace of the Lord God, it is my blessing to worship Him in the teaching and preaching ministry of the Word once again this Lord's Day. It is also my real pleasure and joy to fellowship with you, dear listener, in this ministry of the Word of God. I trust that God's Word will bless you and help you, strengthen you, bring grace into your very hearts, and that you will receive the Lord's truth with an open and true heart that seeks after God and find the great good God intends in the ministry of the Word to His people. We continue today in our series, COVID-19 Days, about pestilence, and our text is found once again in Habakkuk chapter 3. Let me read for you verses 1 through 5, the New King James Version of the Holy Bible. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand, and there His power was hidden. Before Him went pestilence, and fever followed at His feet. Dear friends, let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your living, holy word. We receive it. And we ask now that you would give us grace and blessing, insights into the truth, that we might better understand you, your awesome nature, and your holy actings at this time of the distress we are experiencing. We pray for your mercy, O God, to come to us. We pray for your mercy to come to all peoples, that this deadly virus will be stopped, that hospitalizations will lessen, and that deaths will then lessen and cease. Thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. You are the holy God, the true and living God, and that you help us in every way. We give you praise and thanks for your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is near us. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. And amen. Friends, we have been seeing in these verses the glory of God revealed to Habakkuk and the stark picture, the graphic picture that as God strides forward as a warrior to contend with sin, to judge it, to end it, to bring distress upon sinners, and as He strides forward the divine warrior to save His people from their sins, to lead them in repentance and faith, that in advance, that is before Him, goes pestilence, an overthrowing, contagious, deadly disease. We are all keenly aware of the profound impact of COVID-19, also a pestilence in our days. In these sermons, we have seen that sin has brought about disease, suffering, distress, and death. And secondly, we have seen more specifically that sin brings trouble to us. We have noted these two points in the context of the truth that God is sovereign in everything. And I want to share now the thoughts of an American minister, an influential minister, John Piper, about these COVID-19 days. This is not a season for sentimental views of God. It is a bitter season, and God sent it. We know this because He works all things according to the counsel of His will, Ephesians 1, verse 11, all things. Not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from our Heavenly Father, Matthew 10, verse 29. Nature is not sovereign. Satan is not sovereign. Let me add that science is not sovereign. Piper continues, Sinful man is not sovereign. God rules them all. Luke 8, verse 25, Job 1, verse 12, and Job 2, verse 6, and Acts 4, verses 27 through 28. So, we say with Job, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job 42, verse 2. Therefore, God not only comprehends the coronavirus, he has purposes for it. God does nothing and permits nothing without wise purposes. Nothing just happens. Everything flows from the eternal counsels of God, Ephesians 1, verse 11. All of it is wisdom. All of it is purposeful. For those who trust Jesus Christ, all of it is kindness. For others, it is a merciful wake-up call. Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price, Revelation 22, verse 17. Piper's thoughts help us to understand God and these events that we are experiencing today, and they also help us to lean heavily upon the Lord God who is sovereign in everything. Amos 3:6 says, if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? That's a really remarkable verse because Amos, the prophet of the Lord, speaks the word of the Lord, and he brings before us the truth that if there is war, a war trumpet is blown in the city, the consequence, the inevitable consequence that must follow is fear. And if there is calamity in a city, that is trouble, tribulation, affliction, then the consequence inevitably and must be that the Lord has done this. That means that the Lord is sovereign in all of these things, that this calamity is in his control, and he has brought it to pass in his great purposes. Sin, which we talked about last Lord's Day in some detail, the evil of sin, brings trouble. Joshua 7:25 speaks of this. That verse says, and Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Joshua is speaking about a thief, Achan, and his family. Achan had stolen forbidden objects that were to be set apart to the Lord God, the Holy God of Israel. And the Lord God of Israel revealed Achan's sin and that Achan was the sinner. God pinpointed him out of a nation of millions. And Joshua, the great leader of Israel at the time, must judge Achan. God's judgment for bringing trouble upon Israel that day, the day of the stealing, is that God will trouble Achan and his family. Sin brings trouble, and trouble is in the control of the great and true living God. Psalm 38, verses 4 through 6 tell us, for my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. So the psalmist is keenly aware in his declarations and in his cry to God, in his prayer, that his sin, his wickedness, his iniquities have gone over his head. They have covered him over. They are great in number and multitude. They have covered him over as though he has fallen into a sea of iniquity and it has covered him over completely. And his iniquity is a heavy burden, far too heavy for him. That he has been wounded and that his wounds His corruptions are foul and festering. And he says that this is because of my foolishness. Notice the consequence, the trouble that his sin has brought upon him. I am troubled. God has troubled him. The God, the holy God who is opposed to man's sin. Yes, even the sin of his people, true believers in him. The psalmist says, I am so troubled, I am so weighted, that I am bowed down greatly, and he is full of mourning. I go mourning all the day long. And so sin will always bring trouble upon us. By way of application, we see that this great trouble we are in today, not just physically, not just emotionally, but socially and economically, this great trouble is hitting us on a worldwide basis, is absolutely in the plan and purpose of the sovereign Lord. This trouble has not just happened. It has not come about by happenstance. Sin brings trouble, and so, logically, we must conclude that sin has brought about this trouble. Our sins have brought about this trouble. The holy God will bring trouble for sin. And we see even more specifically that affliction, that's a Bible word which means to cause pain. It means suffering, much suffering or distress or calamity. A similar word to this is the word overthrow. And the New Testament word that Jesus himself uses is tribulation. Affliction is tribulation. It is this overthrowing, painful distress that brings about much suffering. Affliction is God's judgment. When men suffer affliction, the sovereign Lord is indeed the God who has purposed and brought about this affliction. Lamentations 3, verses 37 and 38 say, who is he who speaks and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? Is it not from the mouth of the Most High that woe and well-being proceed? These verses too speak of the sovereignty of God in affliction and that it is God's judgment. Notice that the question is asked, if a man speaks and it comes to pass, has not the Lord commanded his words and brought this to pass? And then the question is asked, is it not from the Most High's own mouth that God speaks and brings to pass? Woe, that's a Bible word that means trouble, and well-being. From the mouth of the Most High, woe and well-being proceed. Psalm 25:16 says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. There the psalmist sees that his desolation and his affliction, desolation is one of the greatest distresses that we can experience, has come upon him. He is a sinner, and so he knows that God is opposed to sin. Notice his cry, turn back to me. Show me again your mercy. Meet my needs in this time of distress. I am desolate and afflicted. Ruth 1:21 speaks of the truth that affliction is God's judgment. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? We see here that Naomi, understanding that God is sovereign in all things, sees and declares that it is God who has brought her home empty, without a husband. And so it is that Naomi knows that the Lord has testified this against her, and that this great distress, this trouble and difficulty, is directly from the Almighty. Since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. Nahum 1, verse 12, thus says the Lord, though they are safe and likewise many, yet in this manner they will be cut down when he passes through. Though I have afflicted you, I will afflict you no more. That must have been a word of relief to Nahum's hearers. It's a word of relief for us because we see here that God speaks of his affliction upon the people, though I have afflicted you, and that God will relent of his judgment. I will afflict you no more. Affliction comes from the hand of God. It is his opposition to sin. 1 Kings 9:8 says, and as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? And so a land and homes are destroyed and the people are astonished. They are overcome by this great destruction, asking, why has God done this to us? Matthew 24:7, the Lord's very own words to us, the words of Jesus, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. The Lord is speaking here of judgments that Israel experienced in Matthew chapter 24, and he also speaks of coming tribulations, that word affliction again, or God's judgment that will come. Notice that affliction, God's judgment, will come in the last days. That is the time from the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ until his second coming, when he comes in glory at the last judgment. And these judgments that will occur from God's hand will be famines, a judgment of God in this sense, pestilences, a judgment of God in this sense, and earthquakes in various places, a judgment of God in this sense. Tribulations will come about in the last days, and we are in the last days, and the pestilences that Jesus said would come about are indeed here in the last days. This is a pestilence, one of the pestilences that he prophesies about. In Luke 21, verse 11, Jesus says, and there will be great earthquakes in various places. We mention simply that great earthquakes are a killing distress often, and bring great devastation upon people. We think of the fairly recent earthquakes in Haiti, for instance, when thousands and multiplied thousands of people died, and the country was completely overcome, completely devastated. Jesus says there will be great earthquakes in various places, that means around the world, and famines. We live in a time when great famines, when tens of thousands of people or hundreds of thousands of people are impacted, and pestilences. Again, the Lord has spoken of this, that it will happen, and indeed we are experiencing one. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. This refers to the fact that when God judges, there is in the heavens an indication in fearful sights and great signs. This really speaks of the truth that we see in the Old Testament prophecies and declarations of God's judgment, that the prophet often describes the judgment coming in such a way that the very heavens are troubled, the sun stops shining, the stars fall down, the moon is darkened, for instance, or in one case, the moon is turned into blood. That doesn't speak of an actual occurrence. In fact, we find several places in the Old Testament where God's judgment is described in these very terms, but those things did not literally occur. Nevertheless, of course, the judgments came. And so Jesus is most likely using proverbial, picturesque, symbolic language here, which the Jews would normally use and understand to indicate that the very heavens are shaken. This is a judgment of God. And so in the heavens, these great judgments, fearful signs will be seen, which I think is best understood for us today as meaning that there will be fear. Surely this is a time of great fear, and that even in the heavens, we will see these great actings of God. What God does will be manifested in a sense. There will be great troubles that cause men great fear, so that in the picture, the very heavens are troubled. The sun is darkened. The moon turns to blood. The stars fall down. And so it is that Jesus says this will take place in the last days. Friends, we're making the point today that affliction is God's trouble for sin. And we must remember once again in the blessed gospel, our hope and strength, our salvation and life, that Jesus, the Holy Son of God, was afflicted by God, his Father, for us. His sacred head was wounded. The holy flesh was broken open. The pure blood of Christ flowed down on the tree. He came under the awesome wrath of God, and he has become our shield. He has become our salvation. His blood has become the covering that we must have to save us from the awful wrath of Almighty God. The Rock of Ages has been smitten and broken open for us. And in the Lord's grace, the Spirit of Jesus has brought us into safety, into the clefted rock. And in the Rock of Ages, in Jesus Christ the Lord, we find shelter and peace and safety and provision and love and help in our every distress. And though the storm of life rages about us in this great time, this stormy, distressed time when God is dealing strongly with all peoples in this time of affliction and pestilence and judgment, his people, the true sons of God, are safe in Jesus Christ. He was afflicted to save us so that we are saved from our afflictions in this world. And I believe that you are probably wondering, like I have been wondering, as my family has been wondering, what is going on? How do I make sense of this as a Christian? What am I to do? What does God want me to do? What is God saying? What is God communicating, if you will, in his providence and in all of these great events which impact us at every level of life? And because I was wondering and in need of clarification in my own heart, I wrote to a friend recently a summary of my views and beliefs, and I want to share that with you now. I hope that it will be helpful to you too, dear friend, as you seek to answer these questions, your own questions about all these great events and how you should carry yourself, what you should do, what you should think and believe in these difficult and trying times. I shared with my friend, God is sovereign in everything. He controls and governs every atom and its movements. There is no curse for believers in terms of our acceptance with God, according to Galatians 3 and 4, believers are justified by faith in Christ, but we are still sinners, though redeemed sinners, thank God, and we live in a fallen world that is subject to God's judgments. Some would insist that this is called a chastisement for believers. God judges sin. He governs in His providence. He controls, that is, He opposes, stops, and judges evil, and He shows mercy and displays grace in His wisdom. And the redeemed are not exempt from suffering or trouble, calamity here, which is in a general sense our lot in this world, because we have sinned. Jesus was afflicted for us, though He never sinned here. Should we not suffer the effects of sin because we have sinned here? But my hope in all of this is that the redeemed will be helped by God even in the worst of our tribulations. Our souls are safe in His grace, and He can bring about much good for all, especially for us, His redeemed, in troubles and in these troubles. I think calamities like this are a huge wake-up call from God, a call from God to repentance for all people, for some to repent unto the saving of their souls, to come to Christ, to believe in Him, to be saved. For some who believe in Christ, to further purity in their hearts and lives. When I think of our obvious and visible global and national sins, abortion, homosexuality, unbelief, murder, materialism, violence, greed, immorality, hatred, war, for instance, I can see a bit more about God's opposition to sin. He hates sin, and He knows what He is doing. Of course, He is all wise, the only wise God, as He deals with sin, and as He blesses His people in His kindness, mercy, and love. I thank God that He shows His mercy to all. The rain falls on the just and on the unjust. So in these trying and difficult days, remember that the Lord is sovereign, that the Lord judges sin, that we have all sinned, that sin brings trouble, and that affliction is God's judgment for sin. And also remember that Jesus was afflicted for you, dear believer in Jesus Christ, that you are essentially safe in the care of the Son of God, who bled and died so that you are saved from your sins and the consequences of sin, and ultimately saved from all affliction, all tribulation in this world. Dear friend, the Lord is gracious and merciful. Rest in Him. Be still and know that He is the Lord. He is God who is exalted in the nations. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank You for these truths. Thank You especially for the Word of God. I pray that You will impress our hearts deeply with these truths, and that You will lead us in contrition and brokenheartedness to cry out for mercy for all, to cry out for Your mercies and grace to come to us, and that You may be exalted in the earth in these days, that You will lead many to You, that many would be saved, and that Your people will see that this must work out together for our good, and that You will bless us, that indeed You do not fail to bless Your people in the midst of affliction. Praise and blessing, glory and love to You, Lord, because of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's in His name we pray. Amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may God bless you.